Hey guys, John Mark Dugan here with the update. Nothing as of yet concerning Mike or Masha. I've been in touch with a bunch of different people, told a bunch of different people to be on the lookout for them. So hopefully something will turn up, either some news or maybe they'll be found. In a bunker somewhere, who knows, maybe a building, a lot of people are saying, well, hopefully they were just captured. I mean, yeah, I guess if you have to pick death or being captured, I guess that would be the preferable one, you know, instead of your car just getting hit by a rocket. Mike would be okay. But Masha is a Russian citizen, and who knows what they would do to her, you know? She probably would not be okay. So, I'm trying to think what else. So I've written a bunch of different people in the media to see if their correspondence, if they would run across them. I've run across, or I've contacted some people in the military to see if, they might be able to, maybe take a quick peek for them. I mean, but look, they got other things to be doing there. You know, speaking objectively, they can't be dropping everything they're doing to look for a couple of people giving out humanitarian aid, so... And I understand that, you know, resources are already spread thin. So at this point, it's just kind of a waiting game. Masha, don't worry. If you are a POW, I'll take care of your cats. But I hope it's not. I hope it's just, maybe they got caught up in something. So here's kind of how it works in the Donbass. Usually you kind of go places to do humanitarian aid, but you have to be back in the city where you're staying by a certain point, because they have a curfew, and it's really a pain in the ass if you're driving around after curfew. It's not exactly good, I guess you would say. So, So they would have to be back in the city, and if they were back in the city, they would find a place to eat. That place would have Wi-Fi, or they would go back to where they're staying. That place has Wi-Fi, and they would have been in contact last night. So it tells me that they didn't make it back to the city. And this in itself is a really big problem. You know, Mike's driving around in the front lines in his Buhanka. It looks like a military vehicle because it is olive drab green. I mean, kind of has to be. And he's got Zeds on it. So, you know, it makes it doubly dangerous to be doing humanitarian aid, but you kind of don't have a choice. You have to be in one of those vehicles, and it has to be marked.
Hold on.
Those of you that were complaining that I have been yawning, you know, I've been up since 4:30 or 5 since yesterday morning, so I haven't really slept, so don't be too critical about my yawning. I'm sorry. I'm very, very tired, and I didn't sleep last night. I just laid awake in bed all night, worried about my guys, well, Mike and Masha. You know, kind of kicking myself that I wasn't with them. I should be. But I couldn't be for other reasons. Yeah, so trying to think what else. Let's see. A lot of comments on this first video that I posted from 5 in the morning. Some people are critical that they were actually there, but you know what? I mean, here's the thing, all right? And I know, I know it's, you know, it's not great to have to be in a place like this delivering humanitarian aid. And some people are saying, well, what are they doing there? What are they doing there? But you know what? They are bringing food, they're bringing water, they're bringing clothing, okay, to people trapped in their basements. And we're talking women, mothers, children, old ladies and old men, people that can't go out because they can't do it on their own, all right? They're afraid to get shot, they're afraid for their families. It's incredibly dangerous for these people, and it's incredibly dangerous for Mike and Masha. And you know, a lot of the people that are being critical are people in the West who have no idea whatsoever the amount of fortitude and courage and decency it takes to do a task like this, to put yourself in the position where there is a very distinct possibility that you can end up dead, or shot, or blown up, or caught, okay, and tortured. This is a very distinct possibility, and it's one that any humanitarian aid worker in the Donbass has chosen to do. You know, this isn't, this, you know, the thing about America and Canada and in places in Europe, they haven't seen war at their doorstep. Europe, yeah, during World War II, that was a long time ago. But to people today, they don't remember it. Nobody remembers war being at their doorstep, especially in America, because all their wars are exported. And this is why the American people are so rah-rah keen to engage in wars all around the world, because it doesn't really affect them. When the U.S. is bombing people in Afghanistan and Iraq, it's over there. It has nothing to do with America. But this is what happens in a war, okay? This is what happens in a real war, and you are on the doorstep. We are on the doorstep of Ukraine. Now, we don't really have to worry about it in Moscow. But the, but people like Mike and Masha, and any other humanitarian mission going into these areas, they do have to worry about it. And it's not, it's not a nice thing to think about. But what are the alternatives? I mean, somebody has to do this stuff, right? The military can't do it all. The military right now is busy keeping the front line safe. They can't be dropping what they're doing to bring food and water to people hiding in basements. I mean, they try, they do. You hear so many stories from these people saying, well, you know, the Russian soldiers, they came, they gave us their food, they gave us their water that they had in their packs. But there's just too many of them, all right, that when there's an active war going on, to be dealing with this stuff. And unfortunately, you can't see a lot of the footage because, well, on the front lines, you're not really allowed to record. It's you know, it's a big safety issue for the guys there. So we can only hope that Mike and Masha are okay. I can only hope. I mean, I've already lost 3 good friends. I lost Daria Dugina, and there was Max, and then just last weekend I was at a friend's funeral, Alexei, the chief editor of Parta. He was a friend of mine, very good man. He left Parta magazine. He left, he was the chief editor. He left voluntarily to go help his comrades on the front lines, and he died. And so I went to his funeral last weekend, and I really don't want to go to 2 more. I really don't. I gotta tell you, but there is always that possibility. So hopefully it doesn't come to that. What else? Well, I guess I'll leave it at that. I'm going to do another update at about 2 or 3 p.m., maybe a little after that, okay? So, I'll let you guys know. And, yeah. So, keep them in your thoughts or in your prayers, depending on your religion or your philosophy. A lot of you guys know mine. I'm not a huge prayer, but doesn't mean I don't want you guys to. Doesn't mean I don't want you guys not to pray for them. So, so do what is in your heart and in your mind. Wish them well, and hopefully we hear from them, and hopefully they're fine, and it's just something stupid like. Or they got caught after curfew and they decided to sleep in a field or something, or something. I don't really have a good feeling, because I know that's not really the way it works. So, we'll see. So check back. And I'll have some more updates for you guys as soon as possible. And I'll talk to you later. Bye. John Mark Dugan, out.